You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za. Come on, Eileen, courtesy of Dexy's Midnight Runners. There's a reason why I played that song this afternoon, and it's to lead into our next conversation. But before I do that, I should actually put a sign up on the door that says "Right of Admission Reserved."
Yeah,
because otherwise, this is what happens. You end up here.
We're back.
You're back. Say hello, folks, to Ashley and to Bradley Searle from Cork Bay Theatre, and two of the stars and pretty much writers, aren't you?
Yep,
that's
us.
Of a show called Man Band, which if you haven't seen, you're going to get a chance to see at the Cork Bay Theatre. They'll tell us about that in a moment, and you do not want to miss. How are you guys?
We're good.
Amazing.
Very good. I just need to point out that you mentioned the wrong show.
You
said Man Band, which is a great show.
Which is a compliment to you.
Amazing.
Yeah. But it's done.
Rocking the bar.
Yeah, that's
rocking the bar.
Rocking the bar.
But we should do Man Band again sometime, I think.
Yeah, we probably will.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. I cocked that up.
No, but it's a good one.
Yeah, but it gave you an opportunity to actually, you know, bring it to the fore.
And I think it was quite a smooth entry into us having something to talk about.
Yeah, otherwise you would have been sitting there, you know.
Just going.
Cool. So this is, so you've got that same dumb look on your face. For that entire show, he walks around with that like dumb look on his face, like the world is going on past me and I actually have no idea what's going on.
This is my favorite show because normally that's my character, and yeah, Ash has taken it and he is running with it.
Yep, I did. I got a very sort of non-scripty character, but
you're owning it.
I think Barry, the character of Barry, he's developed.
All you're right. Getting standing ovations.
Yeah, people love Barry. Amazing. I think it's great.
Not
you
me.
You didn't get no, you just mess with the audience members and the piano. Yeah,
we literally have swapped.
We've swapped roles. Yeah.
Okay, so let's tell people what the show is about. It's called Rocking the Bar. First of all, who's in it?
All right, so we got Brad's, myself, Ash and Brad. Vanessa's obviously behind the scenes. She's doing all the lights and sound as per usual.
Directing.
And we've got Lucy and Alex Tops, which it's an amazing duo to have the two of them together. And we've got a girl called Lene Kun, who has been on our stage before, but I think this show has really let people see, like, she is absolute dynamite. And it's just the five of us. It's a small cast, but a big story. It's a really, really great. We did a show called Bar None 7 or 8 years ago at the original Cork Bay Theatre, and it was a lovely little story. It really was a fantastic narrative, but you know, the theatre's grown, we've gotten bigger. I think there's an expectation from audiences that things are slightly more spectacular and there's a lot more happening on the stage. So we've increased the cast. We took the original story, we bulked it up, we added some characters. And yeah, it's just a sort of bigger, better version of Bar None. And we've renamed it Rocking the Bar. And I must be honest, you know, we worked really hard creating it, and we were proud of it when it went onto stage, but we didn't quite expect it to have the massive sort of audience appeal that it has now. People are loving it. They really are.
Well, it's got everything. I mean, you go from laughter to tears and back to laughter in the space of how long is it? 90 minutes?
Yeah.
90.
And it's some really emotional moments, and there's some really hilarious moments in the thing, and it takes you through that whole roller coaster of emotions, which most of it you miss because you just got this dumb.
No, don't underestimate Barry, guys. He sees everything.
He's just like but okay, now tell people the story, because we're talking about Barry, we're talking about
who are these people?
All
right, okay. So basically the story starts with the narrator who says he's going to take us back, and the musical is set in a pub, like an Irish pub in London, and you get the vibe, you know, as the show starts, you see that the thing about this pub is that music is performed. It's, you know, that's part of what people come to expect. They come to drink a good pint of beer and also watch some amazing sort of music, just good you know, ensemble singing, chorus numbers. And once the audience has settled into that, we kind of go back and tell the story of like how this place, the place called Bar None, how it came to be and how singing became such an integral part of the success of the bar. And yeah, we go back to basically a story where the owner, this is the characters played by Alex.
Mm. Frank.
His name is Frank, and he owns this pub with his daughter, Emily, and that's played by Lene Kuhn. And
things are going terribly.
It's just not, nothing's going well. The finances are down. They don't have any customers. And in pops this sort of Mary Poppins-like character that is Betty, which is played by Lucy Tops. And I don't want to give too much away, but basically she completely transforms the place. And through music and singing and performance, just turns the place around. She's got this sort of magical edge. And it is quite interesting because when you watch the show, you have to kind of keep your eyes open. But there's quite a few sort of magical moments, things that are not really well explained.
You have to see them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They just happen. Nobody on the stage draws any attention to them. It's just very, very subtle. And I think we don't want to tell people what those things are because you want to see the show to see that.
But just to let you know, we actually got a guy called Lance who has been involved in the College of Magic for years and years and years. Mm. And we basically said, give us some really cool magic sort of
illusions.
Tricks and illusions, but let's tone them down so that they so subtle that people sort of have to look twice and go like, did that just happen?
Which is
great because if it's seen, it adds such a cool quality to the show. Yeah. And if it's missed,
that's good.
It doesn't actually matter. It's sort of this double take moment in the show.
Yeah. And there are a lot of them. A lot of them. And so you've got to keep your eyes open. All right. So you play the role of the sort of – What
basically the cleaner, really,
the cleaner. And Brad, you are, I don't know what you actually are.
I'm just everything.
Yeah.
I'm basically just whatever they need me to be.
You're the barman.
No, I'm the barman. Essentially, I'm the barman. What's my name? We haven't done this show in 2 weeks. What's my name?
Jimmy.
My name's Jimmy.
And okay.
Essentially, I'm there to just help anyone who needs help. And, I'm just there to be the person that is reliable and essentially the person to hopefully bring across some audience participation and / or comedy.
But you kind of connect everybody.
I would say that I'm the connecting piece in the story.
Yeah, you connect everybody. You
everyone sort of tells their stories to me a little bit, and I'll pass it on to everybody. But essentially, that's...
Always looking out for somebody else.
Always.
That's Jimmy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And
shoulder to cry on, yeah.
Yeah. All right. You say that it was a smaller show.
Yes, absolutely.
Why did you decide to expand on it? I know that the theater lends itself to that. And I'm going to talk about some of the little fun things as you arrive as well. But why did you decide to take something that you've already done rather than do something completely brand new?
So, to cut a long story short, I think Bar None, and I mean, when I say Bar None, we've done it before. It was very small. It was a fringe production, you know. It was a 50-minute show. We took it to Grahamstown.
Mm.
I mean, Lucy was actually nominated for Fleur de Cap for the Best Actress in a Musical three people. But sort of, we're in a bigger theater. Just as, post-COVID, tickets are more expensive. Mm. The show is longer.
Mm.
There's a different expectation from audiences. And it was just such a brilliant show before that we just didn't want to put it to bed and leave it. And to tell you the truth, I think a good answer also is the fact that we tried this with Another Day. We took a show that existed. We did when we were finding our feet as a production company. Mm. And we go like, we knew that this was a dynamite show, but we were still learning. You know, it was done in a much more amateur fashion. And we were like, we've learned so much now.
Mm.
Let's redo it. Let's give it the performance that it actually deserved back then when we still didn't really know what we were doing. And with Another Day, it worked like an absolute bomb. People really loved it. So, we decided let's do the same with Bar None. Those were the sort of, I would say back in the day, the two shows. The one was a very sort of dance-heavy musical, and the one was a very vocal-heavy musical, being Bar None. And it's the two of them that we were like, we have to. We have to just give them the...
We owe it to the show to redo.
Yeah, we really do. It was so good.
A lot of the writing's done by you two, isn't it?
I would say more Ash and Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. So Vanessa and I write, and we generally, I would say we create a good story that has funny moments. What happens is when Brad steps into the mix, Brad's and I sort of play around with the comedy aspect of it, and we often workshop and come up with, we just think alike in terms of, you know, making it colorful and funny and audience participation. We kind of bring the, I guess, more adult, rude element to the show, which is great. It's, you know, people like to escape and have some
thing
adult
about
fun.
Audience participation is if you're not there on the night, you miss that one.
Absolutely.
Because yeah, everyone is different. Yeah. Everyone is different. And the night we were there, the lady was absolutely awesome. She played along. She was, you know, she was.
We've had some weird ones.
Yeah.
It's tricky because when the show starts, when which we'll talk about the pre-show stuff, but I'm surveying the audience.
Oh, you are.
Because I'm going, she's too drunk. She's not drunk enough, and I got to
She's
fight.
Too hot,
she's
and her too, husband's
she's
too big.
Too hot. Yeah. That guy definitely plays rugby, and then I find that person. I go, like, I'm putting my hopes in you, and they've all worked out.
Except there was one night where Brad's actually went with his choice, and after about 30 seconds, we realized this is not going to work. She was way too confident, basically. And it's a funny thing with audience participation. You want somebody who goes up on stage, plays along, but they
not
mustn't,
too sure.
They mustn't take over.
Yeah.
You, lady, if you listen to Zone Radio, you know you. You are out of control.
So she upstaged you.
No. Well, he basically...
she got weird.
He had the conversation with her, and then at the point where he'd pick her up on stage, he sort of went to the lady two seats to the right and went, and you can come up with me. And you can see Brad's
I did switch.
He just did
I did switch. I've done two switcheroos. Mm-hmm. That was the one. And the other one was, I'm pretty sure, the lady was underage once she stood up, and then I thought that this next 7 minutes is going to put me in prison. I needed to pivot.
Yeah, and that's not her boyfriend.
No, that's
her
dad.
It's her dad. Yeah, exactly.
And he's a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's shaking his head at me. So,
all right, you alluded to the pre-show stuff. What amazed me, and you can now elaborate on it. I'm sitting talking now to somebody who's seen the show. It's kind of like the show's happening almost while people are arriving.
Yes,
there's a little game of table tennis going on. I even had a shot at table tennis, which wasn't too successful. But and then there's all the other stuff. Just tell people how. First of all, how do you come upon that? Because at some point in a show, you want curtain up.
Absolutely,
okay?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There is no curtain up on this thing.
I think it's twofold. There's two reasons that we like to do it. Number one, at Cork Bay Theatre, it's a strange dynamic which we've always loved, is that people always – I think the biggest comment that we get from people is they say, we feel like you're family. Mm. We feel like we know you. We feel like we're friends with you. So they're so invested in the characters that are happening on stage. And what we've realized for us personally is, you know, if you're not at Artscape or some massive theater, if you can build up that personal relationship and let people feel at ease and comfortable around you – because, you know – you spent the last, as we said, you poured my beer, and then we played table tennis with that person, and we had a chat with that person. Then it kicks into the show, but they're already on your team. They already like you. They're already invested in what's happening. They think you're nice guys, and they feel comfortable around you, where we feel that if you create that situation where, get away, don't come close to the dressing room, I'm putting my makeup on, okay, 3, 2, 1, ta-da, here we are, and then the show finishes, and now go away, we don't want to speak, you know, we don't do that, we kind of speak to people before
and that's
after.
And something that we've done since the beginning.
Yeah.
I think like 2009, Vanessa would always chat and go, like 15 minutes before the show starts, you get out there and go chat to people and say hi and introduce yourself and you make fans for life that way.
Yeah, so that's loyalty, that's what sort of benefits the audience, I think. But what benefits us is, if this makes sense, if you're really nervous, which does happen for different, especially when the show is quite new, you're nervous to go out and start mingling with people. But by the time the show actually starts, your voice is warm, you've calmed down, your breathing's regulated. And, you know, so we don't have that, oh my gosh, you know, first minute of the show just
one,
over.
Yeah.
Exactly. We just don't have that. It happens slowly over half an hour before the show.
Apart from anything else, you don't have a curtain. So
exactly. also that.
So there it is. For people who haven't been to the Cork Bay Theatre, you're very, very close proximity to the performance. Even if you're sitting right at the back, you arm's length away.
Yeah.
It's a very, very intimate theater, and the people on the stage become even more real because they're that much closer.
Yes, absolutely.
But that puts a spotlight on you guys from the point of view of how you deliver that performance, because there's no margin for error.
Absolutely.
You can't hide behind distance here.
No, and what's so interesting for us is, I mean, it works vice versa. So I think, we are so experienced and so used to doing what we do. I think any one of us that are the sort of regular Cork Bay Theatre performers, if I, for whatever reason, played the lead in Phantom and all of a sudden there was a massive 1,000-seater, I think I'd struggle to have that space and play into like the abyss, basically. Mm. But on the flip side, people that are amazing musical theatre performers, and I'm saying like big names that play big theatres, really struggle
absolutely
to perform in our theater.
Yeah,
it's just on like the audience is right on top
too
of
close,
you.
Too close.
I think you slowly develop
yeah
a skill for being able to. I mean, at any point on stage, if I look to my left, there's honestly somebody I could just put my arm out and tap them.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's I think it takes a while to get used to that, but we love it.
Absolutely,
we really do.
It
yeah
almost sets up theater in the space of a stand-up comedian, which is interesting. So most, like a lot of stand-up comedians will enjoy interacting with the audience at all times. Some absolutely hate it, but it gives that vibe of we want to use the people around us to enhance the show, enhance us, enhance their performance. So essentially we just eliminate the fourth wall, which is
absolutely,
which
yeah
is awesome.
Yeah, so even now I'm saying if you think of the design of Rocking the Bar, we've created a show where the audience in theory is the clientele that have
in
come
the bar
to the bar, in the bar that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not sort of telling my story and you're just voyeuristically seeing what's happening. We know you're there.
Yeah.
It's happening. You know, that's what's happening on the night. You're sitting in the audience and we're standing on stage and we're performing. We like creating that, I like creating a situation where
it's slightly
the audience
real
is part of what's happening on stage. Yeah.
Also very cool. I don't know if I should be mentioning this, but free beer as you walk in.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay.
Let's explain that. Get all the free beer you want at Cork Bay Theatre.
So, what it is, and I need to explain this because
Nikki, we love you.
Nikki came up with this brilliant concept, and it is fantastic. We've got this new merchandise shop at Cork Bay Theatre, which is so cool. We've wanted it for years. You can buy all different things, Cork Bay Theatre branded. We've got there's a thing, if people have been to the theatre many times, we give them a slut card, which says you're a theatre slut.
Piercing.
Yeah. Sorry, no, that's what it is. And basically, we've got theatre slut caps. We've got we've got the logo on
there we
caps
go
and things.
A cap.
There we go, yes. There we go.
That was the cap.
And in amongst all of that, we've got these awesome Rocking the Bar beer mugs. And it's like $60 or something for a big beer. For anyone who buys one of those in the merchandise shop, you can just take that, walk around the theater, and you can walk up onto stage and go to the keg and to the pourers, and you can go and fill up your mug
that you bought.
Sort of, yes, absolutely.
The beer is free,
but
the mug is
the sign the says, get your free beer here.
No, the sign's
changed. I promise you, the chaos.
that theory we said about we want the customers and the audience to be on our side before the show. There were 2 days where they weren't. That's the
because,
story.
Because for to explain when they came for their free beer.
That it's not
it
free.
It is free. No, it is free, but you must just buy the 60 rand mug first. However, people understand that now, and it is such a winner. There's times where we have to hold the show back because the queue on stage
is huge.
Of people wanting their pint of beer, it is like 20 people, and we have to.
And
sort
it's
of,
good beer.
It is really,
it's
really
Neville's
good.
Peak.
Yes,
yeah,
very
good.
And it goes throughout the show.
It's brilliant. Every time you feel those nerves, you just top up your little glass and
All right, a lot of work with glasses in that show as well, which is quite interesting. All right, so this is happening when now?
So
this is like
for people who know the theatre.
Yeah,
you're used to the fact that we perform Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We are now trying something new just to see. We're trying the next for the rest of this run. We're actually switching to Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. what we find is in the random occasion that we've added a Wednesday show, they sell very quickly. Mm. I guess in the middle of the week, people want to get out. Mm. And what we've found is that a Thursday night, which has always sold quite well, doesn't sell as well as Wednesday, because I guess on a Thursday night, you're probably gearing up for whatever you're doing on Friday night and Saturday night. So we're just trying it out. What it's also meant is that when the show does well, we can add in the Thursday and do Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
All right. So, and that's this week.
Tomorrow. No, today's Monday.
Oh, my word. Yes. One more day.
Yeah, no. He may walk around with the dumb look on his face.
I'm thinking.
All right. So, before I go any further, congratulations in order.
Oh, my word. Thank you. Are you going to announce it on
air? I'm going to announce the fact.
Ladies out there, I just want to let you know that, unfortunately, I'm off the market.
He is indeed. He is indeed. And he went over to where?
Oh, we were in Paris.
In Paris to get engaged.
I did it old school.
Hey?
I did it old school at the Eiffel Tower early in the morning to my beautiful, is she listening? My beautiful, amazing, sexy fiance, mm-hmm. Jessica Cola. There you go.
There we go. So
sorry, ladies, if you like the ginger fever.
And as I said,
that's it. If you like it, then that's cool.
It's off the market.
Off the market now.
Yeah. And as I said, the guide dog didn't bite him.
No. Thank goodness.
Yeah. All right. Before we go, in that shop that you're talking about.
Amazing. Sorry.
I have you in my grubby little paws. Brad and Gary's coffee.
Oh, my word. This was supposed to be a private gift, which now you've brought it out attention to everybody. And so I guess now I need to plug it.
So there's number three.
That's the third blend.
Is that the third blend?
Essentially, you know Gareth Christie from...
brilliant guitarist.
Incredible guitarist.
Actually currently in Layla.
And him and I, we've been best friends since we were 15 years old, and we've always had the dream of starting a coffee shop. And then we sat down to have the meeting to start the coffee shop, and we realized that's not realistic right now. Mm. So we just started a coffee bean business, and we sourced specialty coffee. It is incredible, and we've got three blends out. If you want to go check it out, it's at the Cork Bay Theatre, or you can go onto bradandgarys.com and buy We've Got Beans. Buy our beans.
Okay, so this is what I've got in my hands. It says specialty coffee. Mm. And I can't read the rest of it. Bitter, sweet, chocolate.
I'm glad there was more.
bitter. Sorry. That was it, just bitter. So that's the everyday blend. Mm. So it's the more affordable bean that we have. We've got many, many different varieties. It's incredible coffee. It's some good stuff. And I'm excited to see what you think of it.
Well,
but you said you don't drink coffee. But
well, I don't drink. I don't drink like fancy coffee.
No, well now you.
And I'm going to have to.
You
know, I'm going to have to be forced to do that.
To do it,
unfortunately. Okay, all right, guys. What else have you got in the pipeline? While we're in here, let's talk about Cork Bay Theatre. We've spoken about Rock in the Bar.
So we are busy with a show. We're busy creating a show which opens mid-August, so not too far away. Mm-hmm. And it's called Legendary. And that show is Brad's, myself, Vanessa, Miguel from Man Band. He's back. We have Leah McDermott, who's like a fan favorite.
Yeah.
And a girl who's new to our stage, Nicolette Nia Fernandez. And she is actually a girl who played the lead in We Will Rock You. She played Scaramouche at Artscape, and you know they did their whole world tour. Phenomenal rock voice. It is a massive, massive rock show. And I mean, this is rock that goes back from sort of 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s rock all the way through to more current stuff. But
Metallica, AC/DC, the Beatles.
Yeah. Is there a storyline?
No. We link it together like Man Band is linked together. Okay. So there's a theme, lots of comedy, which is great. There's even a crazy tap number to Black Betty.
Oh, Black Betty.
Which is just, yeah. So I guess think of Man Band, add some like serious rock and glitz and like
females.
Studs and leather, and add Vanessa and Nicolette into the mix, and you get Legendary, and I think it's going to be phenomenal. Also want to say that what we are thinking about even more, and because it takes more work, is our show, our new end of year burlesque cirque sort of variety show is called Unthinkable.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there we go. You've been away.
Yeah.
It's called Unthinkable, and basically expect to see things that don't make sense to the eye. if that makes sense. Yeah, anti-gravity, lights, illusion, you know, add some phenomenal strength acts, pole acts, aerial acts. We're actually raising the roof. Literally, we are in the process of taking the roof that is above the stage, lifting it off and building a new structure so we get more height, so we can actually start introducing sort of more daring,
you know,
aerial
what?
Acts. Yeah.
I'm going to say this now, just occurred to me. First of all, there's a comment here. Judy says, what I love about the theatre is how the audience get involved in the shows. They really do.
Yeah.
But that is also got to be attributed to the way you drag people into that show. So, you know, that is a compliment.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, I need to say this. You've taken a space that was essentially a storeroom at some point.
Yes.
And, you know, and you've made something of it for the people of the Deep South.
Yeah.
And the why I say that is because if too many people come from over the mountain, then we don't get in. And you've really turned it into something meaningful that is an outlet for folk who are living in this area. And we are lucky. We are lucky as the theatre-going audience, or, you know, people of the South, to have access to that. And I want to encourage folk, if you haven't been there to see a show, any show, you've missed out on something. Because, yeah, they have to walk under the subway and it's difficult to find parking and all of those things are there. And yet somehow it works.
Yeah, it's been, it really has been an amazing journey. And we went, you know, from going and trying to tell people that we've moved venues and you sort of, you know, to be honest, in the beginning, just try and make the space work. It honestly is a situation now. I mean, this past week we've had, you know, while we've been off rocking the bar, took a little break. We've had Layla, Leah McDermott's show. We've had a guy called Stella who did Stella de Rose, and that's a drag artist. And every show that walks onto the stage at the moment is sold out.
Okay. Hilton.
Barry Hilton. Comedians sell out. The drag show sells out. The band, the music shows sell out. Our musicals, our burlesque shows, everything sells out. So we are hugely thankful and, like, so appreciative of a massive, phenomenal support system. But, yeah, I would say if there's somebody who hasn't come to the theatre, I think the thing that we managed to do is if someone hasn't been, they need to get dragged there kicking and screaming once.
Absolutely.
But once you've been, you will be back.
And a huge compliment to Ash, you and Vanessa and all the cast and stuff. But the biggest compliment is after a show. Many times we get people who come and say, we've just come from the West End. We've just come from Vegas. We've just come from Broadway. And this is our favorite show that we've seen.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It's
the other thing, as you say, I mean, prior to the show, you guys are accessible. But you're also accessible after the show. Once people have seen what you've done and appreciated it, they get the opportunity to shake your hand and say, well done, guys. You know, you've done something special here.
Yeah, we really do. And this is not saying this wasn't the plan. Mm. I mean, we always said we don't want to sort of separate ourselves from the audience. But you know, I'm saying as an example, Miguel. Miguel was a new found for us, like a new find when we started Man Band. The amount of people that come and say, when's Miguel back? And when he's back, when he's there, he'll chat to them again. And there's ongoing lasting relationships. And it's strange, but when people see the cast of a new show, they want to come back and see the new show, but it's almost as if they want to come and catch up with the friends of theirs that are in those shows. We really do, like, have great relationships with
absolutely
people.
It's like a small community. I mean, us living around in this area, the lots of people we chat to at the gym who go like, oh my word, saw that, who's next, what's coming. It's awesome.
It's real.
That's great.
The bottom line, it's authentic and it's real. All right, guys, anything else?
You looking good?
Yeah,
I always
chat about you. How are you doing?
I've got my cap. I got given a cap.
Is that also a theater mug over there?
No That's my mug.
Okay. Well, we don't read that one out.
But it is.
It's a great mug.
Yeah, it sums up who I am.
Fresh out of luck.
Yeah, okay. for me, always a highlight, personally. And I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
No, I'm talking about Lucy Tox.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Well, if that would have been offensive if it was anyone but Lucy. Yeah. She's just so good. Lucy, we love you.
Lucy, I think Judy has got plans to bring Lucy and Alex in to
come
and chat to her one Tuesday evening. But I've always said that if Lucy Tops sang the phone book, I would sit and listen to her sing the phone
book.
She
is. I promise you, it's the best voice in the world. There's a song in there. When she stands, when she stands in front of you and sings, you sort of want to look for the...
You can't take your eyes off it.
No, but you're looking for the pre-recorded, how it's playing through the system, because you can't believe that that voice actually just...
Just did that.
Phenomenal, yeah.
And that takes nothing away from the other young lady, who, I mean, she was up in Dubai, wasn't she? She was singing over there.
Yeah, she's very talented.
Anyone who can sing
talented.
Next to Lucy.
Yeah. In fact, it takes nothing away from anybody else that we've seen singing there.
Absolutely.
But Lucy is just for
she
me.
She is in a league of her own.
I'm a big fan, and I've been watching her career since she was a young girl at the Waterfront Theatre School, both her and Alex. So it's great to see her doing so well. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because we have some rare recordings of Lucy Tops.
Oh, that's crazy.
We've got Lucy Tops singing Bette Midler's.
I should message her to listen. She's probably listening.
We've got her singing Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
We've got her singing from what was an experimental show called Rock 69 or something like that. Some really experimental stuff. So we've got music here that most people haven't got.
That's amazing.
Of Lucy Tops.
I think you should play one.
I'm going to play Wind Beneath My Wings. And that just gives you some indication about how great this lady is. Guys, we could chat for another hour.
Yeah, that's true. We'll be back.
It's always wonderful to see you. And again, well done on what you blokes are doing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's always a lovely coming
And the
up.
Pleasure you give. The Deep South audiences, you really do. And just for being like a normal oak, we won't talk about.
I've got to keep it together for the family. Thanks, Ash.
Yeah. All right, guys, take it easy. And what do they say? Break your leg or break something.
Yeah.
As long as it's not your beer glass, otherwise you've got a problem.
Just break it.
Just break it. Take care. We'll catch up with you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.